Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, and I got a question for you. How many of you out there who are concerned about the state of our country, about the woke lunatics that have taken over our nation, how many of you feel absolutely and frustratingly stuck? It's like no matter who you support, no matter who you vote for, no matter who you put into office, no matter what, nothing seems to change. Our nation continues to descend into the abyss, and nothing we do seems to change that. Is that you? Because if it is, this video is about to change your life. What if I told you right now as we speak, countless others who've felt the exact same way are actually and actively doing something about it? What if I told you that courageous and enterprising patriots all across the country aren't waiting for our feckless politicians to get their act together? Instead, they're doing what patriots have been doing for centuries. They're taking matters into their own hands, and they're building, actively building, an entirely new world, a world dedicated to faith, family, and freedom, a world that promises to usher in a whole new era of liberty. Well, if that sounds exciting to you, I got someone you need to meet. Today, I have the honor of connecting you with someone who's at the forefront of this amazing new enterprise, David Ragsdale. David is CEO and co-founder of the Replatform Parallel Economy Initiative, and David is offering all of you Turley Talkers out there the chance to join patriots just like you in building this superior, innovative, parallel economy. David is hosting the Replatform Vegas Conference. Mark your calendars. This is awesome. It's from March 8th to 10th. And guess what, gang? I'll be there too. So we can meet face to face. So just click on the link below to register. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So David, I've been so looking forward to this interview today. Welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, we get to talk finally.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's good. It's great to meet you here. E-meet you, I guess, right? Let's dive into it because I love what you're doing. And it's not just that you're not waiting. It's not that you're just not waiting. You're taking matters into your own hands, no question. But, you know, we were talking about this before the interview. Historically, that's the pattern that we've seen work over and over again. So in the Greco-Roman world, and you're a classicist, as I found earlier, you've trained in Greek and Latin, which is so cool. But, you know, in the Greco-Roman world for three centuries, Christian converts built an entire parallel world, a totalizing system that Constantine later adopted for the whole Roman Empire in the fourth century. And then you even had, during the Soviet period, you had these Czechoslovakian dissidents like Václav Havel, Václav Benda. They formed what they called literally a parallel polis, a parallel civilization, long before the Berlin Wall fell, and much of their practices then get put into policy. Is that what you see happening here? Or are you part of actively building a parallel world that could serve as a blueprint for what's to come?
Yeah, I mean, this is what we are at Replatform. What we're doing is we're simply bringing people together, many of them who are already building or who have already built these things, right? There's this idea that someone else has to do this, or we have to wait for the next election cycle, and then our guy gets in, and then he has to nominate someone, and they have to get approved, and they have to work it down through the bureaucracy, and then maybe things will open up a bit so that we can begin to do things. And that's just false. Right. People are doing things right now.
That's the amazing thing. I just think the paradigm that so many people have out there, yelling at their screens, you know, or sending out nasty tweets or whatever, it just misses the whole point that the answer is actually literally staring you in the face right now.
Yeah, I mean, let's take debanking, which has been, you know, very trending on X and, you know, SNL, and people are talking about it now. And debanking is when a bank or a financial institution, because of one's legal and nonviolent political position or on a social issue, essentially removes your ability to do business with them, if you have an account with them, if you're using them in some way. And a lot of people have gone through that. And there is this idea that people should spend like 8 hours a day scrolling through social media complaining about it, when there are many banks out there who don't debank people, who right. will not cancel you, who are values aligned, and they're right here. And right. it's just surprising that these connections aren't being made. And that's really just the very simple point of Replatform, is to connect these businesses with each other and with consumers, and hopefully with some investors.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You need capital to build the economy. There's no question. So you've been on the front lines of this growing parallel economy now for some time. What's your sense of things in terms of where we stand right now? Are you seeing a growing group of business owners just deliberately positioning themselves and their businesses towards a freedom economy as opposed to the woke nonsense that we're seeing?
Well, yeah, I think so we have to look at the difference between like marketing and like innovation, right? And so what we need to be really careful of is that marketing has a role, right? But we can't innovate in the parallel economy based on marketing alone, right? So that it's not enough just to counter woke with anti-woke. What we have to do is we really have to get a look under the hood and say, what is this wokeness? It's a symptom of, right? And it's a symptom of, I think, dysfunction and stagnation. And so our best way to counter that is to innovate. And we're not seeing innovation in corporate America. If you look at the last couple decades, other than food delivery and dating apps, what improvements really has big tech made, right? Things are actually worse on your computer. If you try to do something on your computer 20 years ago versus today, it's going to take you a little bit longer to do today because you have to go through so many systems and processes. So even on sort of this whole technology narrative that corporate America has stood on, it doesn't even really have much basis for that. And so when we're building out a parallel economy, we have to be cognizant of what's the marketing and really what's really needed in terms of product development.
It's so fascinating. I love how you're trying to get to the root of wokeness there. A lot of people, I remember actually with some family that from the Bay Area, we were talking earlier, they were over, we were on the East Coast in North Carolina, just in a vacation spot. And we got up and started talking about this wokeness. And my California family was like, where does this come from? You could never have invented this in a million years. And I think you're onto something there. I've heard that before. It's a uniquely Western phenomenon. And so there's something inherent in Western society that's producing this stuff. And there does seem to be a civilizational stagnation. Post-secular scholars have talked about that. That secularity and modernity sort of hit its limits in the 1960s and 70s, and it no longer had the frames of reference for any kind of positive flourishing, cultural flourishing. And it seems like now we're reaping some real anger and just vitriol as a result of that. And it does seem that someone like an Elon Musk or just some of the more innovative entrepreneurs, it's interesting how they're all sort of turning their back on that nonsense and trying to reimagine the future in new and exciting ways.
And I think, to be honest, it'll be a little bit difficult for Elon because Elon is not a conservative.
Right.
He's not a traditionalist in any sense. And I think that a lot of the mindset that Elon had up until a very few years ago was essentially let the past be the past. And he bought into sort of this, progressive, always progressive movement of history and of humanity, nothing to do with cyclical, nothing to do with decline, and that we're always on this upward trajectory. And I think what caught him in the last few years is he realizes that that doesn't really work as a model. It doesn't work at all, because you essentially end up, and you were talking about, you know, the Czech dissidents, but you end up at a point where, you know, where you have Stalinists and, you know, Maoists saying, we are actually the endpoint of history.
Right.
And this is the right side of history. And it's actually a really difficult place for a liberal to find him or herself in, because their mindset is anything in the past has to be considered of less value. And that's something where I think social conservatives have a huge role to play in the innovation going forward in the parallel economy, because we have clearly done things better in the past than we are currently doing today. And it doesn't mean everything, but it means we've clearly along the way lost abilities, skills, aesthetic preferences, all these things. And so one really useful function for social conservatives is to be able to sort of curate or figure out how to bring some of these really joyful, and some people believe godly. I'm Catholic, so I believe godly. But, you know, even if you don't believe in God, there are things in the past that we could bring forward today and integrate into our parallel economy. And that's why there's so much potential here.
It is. I'm stunned even someone like Richard Dawkins, you know, who's a hardcore atheist, will refer to himself as a cultural Christian. Even he recognizes it, that recognizes so much of what he takes for granted in the sciences and in liberal arts or what have you, comes straight through the inheritance of Christendom. And he recognizes that.
The difficult part for Elon and, you know, Dawkins is that there is like an artistic element in innovation and in the parallel economy. And an artist is moved spiritually, not rationally, to create, to imagine new things from old things by synthesizing things. And oftentimes what we know from our Western tradition is that spiritual inspiration to create art that created these huge economic currents came from a belief in Christ.
Absolutely.
And there's, you know, whether it was Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox, even Mormon, it didn't really matter so much as that divine spark of ingenuity is not something that, like, Elon can just, he can acknowledge that that's important, but unless you get it, you're not going to get it.
That's an excellent point. Our creative spirit is itself iconic of the creator par excellence, who puts his image within us to continue on in that creative activity. It's beautiful. And it, you know, the spirit is the creative activity of God. And so that intuitive nature in us. Yeah, no, it's beautiful how it fits together. It is interesting because you've got now Jordan Peterson, who's probably the most post-secular mind out there today, doesn't even go to church. And yet he recognizes exactly the limits of the modernist secular experiment, the 300-year experiment that's coming to an end. Richard, what's it? Russell Brunson's another one. Branson's another one who recognized the depletion of the frames of reference. There, just they can only go so far because they've been amputated ultimately from the Christological seed, the source from which the modern world and the secular world emerged. And the moment you amputate yourself from the source of your life, inevitably you begin to wither away. I'm curious, we're reaching the top of the Himalayas here, but bringing it practically down to earth is beautiful. I mean, so people out there are looking for answers. They feel so frustrated with the paralysis they see in our politics and the like. What is a practical step for someone who is looking to transition to the parallel economy? Let's say they're like they've got an Amazon business or something like that. What practically could people start doing besides clicking on the link below and joining us in Vegas in a couple of weeks, right? That definitely. But what practically could they be doing to position themselves more into a parallel economy?
Well, I would say the first thing probably would be banking or whoever your payment system is. I would say that I think everyone, you know, we have, I'm not going to mention, but there are many, many banks and financial institutions and payment systems that will ensure that you're uncancelable. And that for many are values aligned with their beliefs. And I would start there, right? Because you have to get your money right before anything else.
Yeah. And many of them are going to be at the conference.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Quite a few of them are going to be at conference, and they'll be able to, if you have a business, if you just your family, they'll be there to walk you through how to essentially transition. And I want to be clear, there's parallel economy is still, you know, our economy, it's still like there are aspects of it, like obviously crypto and stuff that might confuse people, but parallel economy banks are still FDIC insured. They're still regulated. They're still brick and mortar, many of them. So what we're talking about, though, is like a values alignment, right? And so I would start with banking, and then you get, depending on who you are, right, you could go. So there's education if you have kids, but the thing is that the homeschooling movement, classical curriculum, that's really well developed, right? Yeah. It's a very strong ecosystem, right? Yeah. So there's so much on offer for that, that it doesn't, I happen to think it doesn't quite need the lift that some of these other industries do, because you can go to a homeschooling conference and there'll be 1,000 vendors.
Easy. Yep.
Easy. And so it's like, they're doing great and they're going from strength to strength. And so, you know, education, but that's already very well developed. Food, right? Mm-hmm. Food is really, and the simplest way is, try to find where your food comes from. Try to reduce the number of hands or processing, and whether that's meat to table, farm to table, like however you do it, there are a lot of really good companies out there that are making it easier to avoid that middle section of the supermarket that's full of all that junk that's making us very sick.
What role do you see networking between business owners in terms of fostering this parallel economy? How important is it for this sort of B2B?
It's the most important. It's actually even more important than the two consumers, because the B2B, or like the parallel service economy, right? There are plenty of non-woke lawyers, doctors, all these services, right? And what the problem is there's a real disconnection problem. And so why, events like ours, Replatform, or others are really important is it's as simple as getting people in the same room together and realizing, right? Because let's say I have a service business and I have a problem with some type of provider because of my politics, right? That's a pretty, pretty big problem to me that probably chews up so much time. But if I can get into a room with 3 or 4 people doing different things, I can solve that much quicker and easier. And then I can actually do the thing that my business is supposed to do.
Right, right. No, well said. Give us a sense. I mean, if somebody clicks on the link below right now, signs up for the Replatform Vegas event, give us a little hint of what to expect. What are we going to see there?
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of CEOs. We're going to see a lot of founders. We're going to see a lot of, there's some fun entertainment parts. So we have a few surprises. Some of our favorite anonymous accounts on Twitter will be doing some really cool art at our ball. Mickey Willis and the Elevate crew will be premiering their movie. And then you're just going to get a lot of networking, a lot, you know, again, from banks to lawyers to farming to investment to all this stuff. It's really just a great conference to connect with anyone who's really doing something in the parallel economy, right? And there's nothing wrong with marketing, but it's not just about marketing. It's not about being the loudest guy in the room or the person whose tweet goes 60,000 retweets, right? It's about someone who you meet at Replatform who can say, your business is having this problem or you're afraid of this. Have you met my friend over here?
Yeah.
He can help you with that.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah. When I looked up at the lineup there, I'm just seeing basically a whole infrastructure.
Yes, it's meat and potatoes. This is not, we're saying this is not a complain-a-con, right? We're not here to be like, I make a joke to everyone. I say, you get to say woke once from the stage. The second time you're paying me money, man. We get it. We really get it.
We know. Right. That's what I love about you. Again, there's so many people who feel stuck. And I think if we're trying to find the source of wokeness in that stagnation, I think it's also just the sense that the anger towards wokeness is found in a comparable kind of stagnation as well. Yeah. But that's what I love so much about Replatform Vegas is you guys are like, there's no stagnation here. We're building and creating and constructing. And then that is exactly what we want to be doing in terms of putting our creative energies to the best use, not complaining or whining and so forth. Gang, seriously, stop waiting for our feckless politicians to get with the program. You know, they're waiting for us to do it first. Yeah. So it's time to build. It's time to meet up with and learn from some of the strongest voices in the conservative movement today. We're actively building a parallel civilization. It's really amazing stuff. Join myself, join David, and a whole lineup of amazing patriots. We're fighting against the corporate-controlled centralized economy. Again, March 8th to 10th. Get your tickets to Replatform Vegas at the link below. You're going to love it. I'll be there, and I'll can't wait to meet you face-to-face.
That'll be great.
David, thank you so much. I've looked forward to meeting you here, and I can't wait to see you in Vegas in a couple of weeks. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be a great time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.